Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Chulin Kuf Lamed Daled. We are on the very last line of Kuf Lamed Gil Lamed Beis. Okay, back to the Kohen who sold his animal to a Yisrael. If the seller tells the buyer, Chutz min matonis, it's all yours except for the matonis. Zroya, Lachoyayim, Vekeva, the portions that are meant for a Kohen, are being held back, are still going to be mine, not part of the sale. Okay, Patam min matonis, so the customer is exempt from looking after the matonis because they never left the hands of the Kohen, they belong to the Kohen, and they stay there. Raminu, we turn to the next page. We have a kasha from our Braisa, where it seems otherwise. That even in this type of case, where the Kohen is attempting to hold back the matonis, it will not be a successful endeavor. In fact, the customer will be in charge and he'll direct the matonis to whomever he chooses. Raminu, amanash matonis shali, I'm selling you, the Kohen is selling the animal to you, the Yisrael, on condition that the matonis remain mine. Does it? No. Noisein l'chol kohen shiyirtze. The customer will take the matonis and send it to whomever he chooses. Any kohen that he chooses. Almanas. Achutz karamis. You're asking for almanas, which is merely a condition. Versus the Mishnah where it was chutz. It was an exception. A totally different story. When you say chutz, you're leaving it out of the sale. It's not part of the transfer. Shira. He's being left out of the sale. The kohen never sold the matonis. They were his and still are his. In this case, he keeps them, as opposed to the Braisa, where it was not chutz, rather, it was merely a condition, a tanai. You can't make a tanai against the halacha of the Torah, which says that a customer is in charge. Customer is entrusted with looking after the matanis and picking a kohen of his choice. Amanas, lav shira. That wasn't left out of the sale. It's fully sold to the customer. Now it's in the hands of the customer. You can't tell him what to do. But Aminu, now we have a kasha from another braisa, where it seems to say that almanas does work. Almanas shamatanas shali, on condition. The matanas remain mine, says the kohen. What happens? Amatanas shaloi. He keeps the matanas. He writes, says the Gemara. There's a fundamental machlokes in terms of semantics. How do we interpret the words almanas? Is it really a condition on top of the sale, or is it an exception to the sale? Publicly, this is the point of Machlekes. Mar Savar Almanas Shirahu, the second price that maintains Almanas, is Shir. It's being left out of the sale. Okay, so if the Kohen never sold it, it remains his. Mar Savar Almanas Lav Shirahu, whereas the first price holds that Almanas is merely a condition, which of course is ineffective. Amaloi Mecharli B'nei Me'ah, Mishnah says, customer purchased the innards of the animal without stipulating, price per pound, and the matonis came along, so the customer gives it to the kohen without deducting from the price, but if it was per pound, in which case he paid for matonis, which were not really allowed to be sold, so he gets refunded for the matonis, which he gives to the kohen. The mission seems to indicate that who's responsible to look after the matonis? Who has to direct it to the... It's the customer. Amar Rav Leishanu. It's only true Ela Shashaka La'atzma if the customer waited. He actually physically transferred the material by himself. Shaka La'atzma. Aval Shaka Le'tabach. But it was the butcher who waited and transferred it. So he becomes the thief. He is the gazlan. Aval Shaka Le'tabach Hadinah Ma'tabach. In this case, the kohen can also approach the tabach directly. He says, what happened to Matanis? Where did it go? Because in this case, the tabach is a player in the equation. Rav Asi Yomar says, no. After all, who's in possession? The customer. He has to look after it. Even if the tabach waited and transferred it physically to the lekeach, hadin imai. The claim of the coin is directly, strictly against the customer, who gives him the matonis and then gets refunded from the owner. Perhaps this machlekes is linked to a different discussion, where Rav Chisda tells us, Damar Rav Chisda, Gozav le'nisiyashu abayla. Reuven stole an item, and we know that the owner did not, give up hope on it. He's still pursuing it. Uba achar va'achle, comes along Shimon, takes that very item and consumes it. Who is the responsible party? Who does the victim come and claim against? Is it the actual thief, Reuven, or perhaps Shimon, who took it and consumed it? It's up to him. Ratza, if he chooses, he goes to Reuven to collect, because after all, he stole it. Ratza, or he can go to Shimon, who consumed it, because they're both gazlanim, they're both equal players in this theft. Okay, so back to our story. The matanis were stolen by the butcher, who transferred it to the customer who has it. The mar is like the Rav Chisda. Rav, who says that the kohen can choose his claimant, he can go to butcher, he can go to the customer, it's like Rav Chisda. Because in this case as well, the butcher stole and the customer has it. Umar less like the Rav Chisda, whereas Rav Asi apparently disagrees with Rav Chisda. Less like the Rav Chisda, he says, it's not up to you whom to pursue. If the material is around, you go to the person in possession. You can't go to the butcher, because now he's in possession. He's considered like the primary thief. Says the Gemara, Loi, no, not necessarily so. The Kuliyam Islu de Rav Chisda, perhaps in your classic case where Reuben stole and Shimon stole from Reuben, you can go pursue either one. But over here, by Matanis Kahuna, Nigzalis Kamifli, the question is whether the concept transfers over to Matanis Kahuna, which are not really possessions owned by anybody at this point. It's still preliminary. It's meant for a kohen, but it was never really owned by a kohen. Oh, so the question is, in a case where a butcher actually transfers it to the lekeach, shakalei tabach, what really happened here? Did the butcher really steal anything yet? In which case he can say, okay, kohen could approach either the initial thief or the secondary thief, up to him. But perhaps it wasn't really a theft at this point. He never really earned the title of Goslem by merely transferring the material intended for a kohen to a customer. He didn't technically steal anything. So ultimately, it's the customer that has it, who the kohen pursues. Vachon, over here, now a case. These portions meant for a kohen nigzolis. Does theft, the concept of theft, apply to it? Kamiflegi, that's the point of machlekes. The mar sovar nigzolis. Rav says yes, in which case the butcher was involved in theft, so he's equally responsible. Omar Sava ain't exalted. Rav Asi says there's no concept of theft at this point, in which case the only responsible party is the customer, who actually has it in his possession. Ika demasne la lashmata b'fnei atzmo. Now, some had a different version of this discussion. The same point, there's a different version. Instead of relating to the story now, Mishnah, it was an independent discussion. Does theft apply to Matanis Kahuna? Rav Amar, yes, Matanis Kahuna nigzolis, theft applies to it. Rav Asi Amar, no, there's no concept of theft at this early point in the game. Matanis Kahuna and nigzolis. Continues the Mishnah. Gershin is Geir. Voisele Para, a fellow converted. He had in his possession a cow. The question is, what happens to the Matanis of that cow? It depends when the shechita took place, before conversion or after. Nishchato achlein isgayer. The shechita took place before he converted. Potter, he's exempt from giving matanis because the shechita is what triggers, what activates the chiyuv. In which case he was exempt. But mishin isgayer. If the shechita took place after conversion, chayev, then he's obligated. Suffix. Suppose we're not sure when it happened. Potter is exempt. Sham moitzei mechavera. Whoever is looking to extract money from his fellow, olav haraya. He has to prove his case. In this case, you can't force him to pay unless you prove that the timing obligated him. Kiyosu Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, Amar, he says like this. There was a kasha going on in Eretz Yisrael. Rami Le Rabbi Shimon Ralakash. The famous Reish Lakash had a kasha L'Rabbi Yechna. Tana, now Mishnah says, Safek Potter. When we're not sure, he's exempt. Alma apparently Sveika L'Kula. When it comes to payments of this sort, unsure, uncertain, you're exempt. V'raminu, here comes a kasha from a Mishnah, where it seems that in terms of gifting, the poor people, what belong, if you're not sure, you have to pay it up. Chayrinim hanamalim, shebusei chakama. We know there's a halacha called leket. Stalks that drop during the harvesting process. It's a couple of stalks, it goes to the poor people. Now suppose there are chure, little holes, ant holes, hanamalim, of the ants, who bore these holes, shebusei chakama, amongst the standing stalk, which were not yet harvested. In which case, there's no concept of leket at that point. You find granules, you find kernels inside. Who does it belong to? Does it belong to the farmer? Or perhaps they are from fallen stalks, material that belongs to the poor. No way to determine. Well, if it's sitting within the standing stalks, which are not yet harvested, we assume it belongs to the owner, because they were taken from those stalks. Right? Shabbatei HaKama, amongst the standing grain, Harei Elosh Balabai, belongs to the farmer. But Ushalach HaKotrim, material found behind the harvesters, in the area that had already been harvested, Harol Yenim Laniyim, the upper layer of the kernels found in the in these holes, are assumed to have been dragged in there by the ants, using the leket material. Laniyim belong to the poor. Tachtoim, the ones below, that predated the harvesting, we assume, Shabbat Abayit belongs to the owner. Rameo Imra, Koy Laniyim. All the granules found in these holes in the harvested area, even the lower layers, belong to the poor, Shesafek, Leket, Leket, because when there's an uncertainty in terms of, its Leket status, it's presumed to be Leket. Clearly we see from a mayor, and even according to the Chachamim, who consider the upper layer, the upper material to be for the poor, that when it comes to a question of uncertainty, a question of belonging or not belong, we give it to the Aniyim. Likewise, in our case, now Mishnah, the Matanis Kuhuna, we should direct it to the Kayin, even though it's a Safek. Amar Leis, he says, Rebechan responds, Al Taknatene, don't bother me from that Mishnah, so to speak. Shabloshin Yochid, Ani Shoyne Oysa. So Rashi explained that the Kasha was that in that Mishnah, Rameir says, when there's a suffix, it goes to the poor. In our Mishnah, which is Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, which is presumed to be Rameir speaking, Stam Mishnah is Rameir, we say when it's a suffix regarding Matonis Kuhuna, we hold on to it, we don't have to give it. That's the Kasha. So he responded that that Mishnah with the Leket, was expressed by a certain individual, a certain version. It wasn't really the consensus version of the Allah. It's the version of an individual. It's Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra's version. It's not the accepted version of the Allah. So can't ask from the Sani, Rabbi Raisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra. He's the one that quotes Rabbi Meir. It's his version of events. I remember from Rabbi Meir, that's Safek Leket. When there's uncertainty in terms of leket material, leket, we give it to the poor, safek shikha shikha. Likewise, when there's a safek whether a bundle was left behind, we treat it as shikha, safek peya peya. When there's a safek about the corner of the field, is that peya? We treat it as peya. But the consensus version is not so. Omar Lai So, Rish Lakish says, Al Tishna Isa, El Ablashan Ben Tadal, even if you consider that version to be the version of Ben Tadal, who was a deranged person, it's not going to help you much. For a time of Kamar. Fact is, I know that a mayor's halacha, that halacha was based on a pasuk. It wasn't just unfounded, it was rooted in a pasuk. The Amar of Shimon Lakish. Shimon Lakish explained, my dichsev, how do we understand the pasuk in Tehillim? Ani varosh hatzdiku. Consider the poor as right. Hatzdiku. My hatzdiku. What does that mean? Consider him to be right. In a court case, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to take sides and side with a poor man. Of course not. Notwithstanding your compassion towards him, you're not allowed to. Tilt your judgment accordingly. Ilayim of Adinim. Are we speaking with respect to judgments in court? Voksiv Adal. Even a poor man, lo yitad abaribay. Don't give him honor. Don't prefer him in his disputes. Elo, rather, the pasuk means like this: Tzadik mishalcha b'tenlo. When there's a question, when there's uncertainty, Tzadik is loshon tzedaka. Be generous with yours and give him. Who meant to be stringent and give him the benefit of the doubt when it comes to matonis aniim? And likewise, regarding matonis to the kayim, we treat them the same. And why would our mission say that the ger is pater from giving matonis kuhuna? Oh, my Rav, I'll explain to you why. Big difference. We have to import the chazaka concept. In our Mishnah, regarding matonis kuhuna, the cow was presumed to be pater, exempt from matonis while owned by the ger. So until you can prove otherwise, until you can change that notion, we assume the status quo remains, and he's pater. As opposed to the kama, the grain growing in the field, as soon as it starts growing, becheskas chiyuv akayim, it's presumed to be obligated in the eventual, matanos of leket, shikha vepeah. Until you prove otherwise, you assume that it's chayiv. Different directions. Here we're starting with exempt until proven otherwise. Here we're starting with chayiv, with obligated until proven otherwise. Amar le'Abaye. Okay, that works in these two cases. Here comes the third case, Har Issa. What about that dough with respect to the challah obligation? It says like this: Nasis Ashaloi Nisgayer Patur Min Achala Mishnah and Sechas Challah. So the dough was rolled, was turned into a dough before conversion. Patur Min Achala is exempt from challah because the guy is Patur. Mishnah is Gayer. But if the Ger turned it into a dough after he converted, Chayiv is obligated in challah. What if we're not sure? Safek, he is chayav. And according to you, it's contrary to the chazaka concept, because up until now, the material was exempt until proven otherwise. So why is he chayav? Amar Lisi says, you're right. There it's different. Although you have the chazaka, but safek yisur lechumra. In contrast to the Mishnah, which is speaking about matanis kuna, which is merely a monetary issue, do I owe, do I not? Contrast to the case of the leket, right? These are all monetary issues. But here, by challah, it's a very severe iser question. A person who consumes material, dough, prior to removing the challah, that's tevel. Very consequential, this misa, right? So there you can't rely on the chazok. Safek isur, when there's a safek regarding iser, some which is maybe forbidden, very forbidden, l'chumri, have to be strict and account for the possibility that it's chayev. Safek mamana l'kula, as opposed to questions of just monetary issues, such as our Mishnah, matanis kuhuna, there's no holiness there, it's just a question of do I owe it or do I not, so I'm exempt. Damar b'chizda, b'chein tani rab chiyah, we have a braisa as follows: Shmoyna sfeker is nemer beger, regarding a convert, a ger, who's involved in all kinds of uncertainties. Did it happen before he became a Jew, afterwards? So regarding eight possibilities, eight cases, we split them into two groups, Arba l'chiv, and four we are strict, Arba l'ptur, and four we are lenient. Why? It depends on this very factor. Is it merely a monetary issue? A mamonis issue? So you're lenient. He holds on to his money until proven otherwise. But if it's a question of iser, we don't take chances. What are the ones that are iser related? Karban ishtoi. His wife gave birth, and there's a tumah, and there's obligations of bringing karbanis. Not sure whether it happened before conversion, after conversion. You have to be strict. V'chala, v'chiv of chalan is dough. Before, after, you have to give. U'b'chor behemot meyo. He had a firstborn donkey, right? So you have to go and redeem it, right? You have to do it regardless, even though you're not sure whether he's chayev, whether it happened before or after he converted. Now, of course, you can hold on to the animal that's sort of given in exchange, because that is limited to money. Do I have to give it or not? But the actual redemption process that you have to do. And the fourth is ubuchor b'matayr, firstborn kosher animal. You have to be machmer, even though it may have happened before he converted. L'chiv. So regarding all these matters, he has chayev, even though he's unsure, because we're dealing with isur. So regarding the bechor, We have to wait until it gets a blemish, and then he could shecht it anywhere. But he can't just ignore it. We turn to Amud Beis with four examples of monetary obligations, in which case we exempt him. Rishus HaGeis, first shearing of his animal, not sure when it happened, before or after conversion. Matanois, right? The Zroya L'chayayim Bekeva, as per our Mishnah, Pidin HaBen, the five coins given in exchange of the for the firstborn son, Pidin Petach Amor, and that sheep which was exchanged for the first donkey. So you go through the process, but the actual material you can keep, Liftur. And this is fully consistent with our formula that in matters of Chiyuv, matters of Mamayin, he's Potter. Matters of Isser, he's Chayiv. Kiyosu Ravin, Ravin came, he had a different version of this whole Amar. He says, Kama Akama Ramile. What was Rish Lakish's initial question? Well, that was that he asked a different type of contradiction between one Brisa, where it says that in matters of Safek Leket, we go Lakula, and the other Mishnah where it says Lachumra. And that Rabbi Yechon says, well, one is the consensus version, one is the Rabbi Ben Igra, which is his own private version of the Machloikis, but the Rameir Shita, Bachachamim really hold that even Rameir would exempt in the case of Safek Leket. Okay, Levi Zora Bekishar. Levi planted up his field in this place called Kishar, and everybody there was well to do. No poor people around to collect the leket and the shikha. What are you doing now? Vali havanim, limishka leket. There were no poor people around to collect the leket. What do you do? Do you just collect it and keep it? Do you leave it out in the field and let the animals eat it? Also, come into Rav Sheshes. He approached Rav Sheshes with this question. Amar li, he says, what's the point of leaving it out? It's meant for the poor. La'ani v'lager, taz of aysim. Leave it out for the poor. Not meant for the birds, for the ravens, or for the lizards. Of course, you can keep it. Maybe here comes a kasha, where it seems like you are responsible to deliver to the poor. Aim to be in truma. So in matters of truma, you don't. The farmer doesn't have to get on the truck and bring it down to the city to bring it to the kohen. It's the kohen's responsibility to go find the material. You don't have to transport the truma from the from the farm, from the granary to the city where the kohen lives, nor or from out in the wilderness to the farms, to the town. Basically the kohen is responsible for picking it up. Let's say there's no kohen around, in this case the farmer should rent a truck, rent a para, and bring it to town where the kohen is. If Nev says truma, otherwise the truma will just get lost, and clearly the owner has to look after it and ensure delivery. As opposed to Rav Sheshes, who says just keep the leket. Shani truma the tavla, says the more hit, very different truma. If you're not going to take it off the separate it from the rest, it makes a tevel. It's going to be usher to eat. It's not sufficient. Delay mafish, so without separating it, basically we're obligated. You're compelled to separate it. So once you do that, it's in your possession. You have to look after it. You have to deliver it. As opposed to the matones for the poor, there's no iser, technically. There's no iser if you leave it in there. There's no kedusha, right? It's just that you're obligated to leave it for the poor. There's no poor. Keep it. Ask the Gemara. Very matones. What about the matones, right? There's royal chayayim. Tuloy tavli. Even before separation from the animal, there's no tevel status, there's no iser to eat it, right? V'tanya. Right? There's no iser to eat the rest of the animal. You're obligated to give the matonis, but there's no tevel status if it's as yet unseparated. V'tanya, still we have a brisa that you're responsible to look after it. V'tanya, makom shenogu lumlig bagolam. So firstly, another point. What about the skin? A general question. You give this roya, the chayayim. What about the skin on those parts? Do they belong to the kohen as well, or is it just the flesh? We have a brisa, makom shenagu limleg ba'golim. The place where the accepted practice was to be moileg, to scald with hot water. They would stick the, let's say, the arm of the animal inside to singe off the hair, because they would actually eat the flesh. In that case, you should give it to the kohen with its flesh, with its skin as well, because it's part and parcel of the. Liyavsh Ezra, you should not skin the Ezra before giving it to the kohen. It's meant to, meant to be generous and give it with the skin itself, which is deemed edible in that location. Lahavshad is a roish. Regarding the head of the animal, which has the lechayim, if the accepted custom in that town was to actually skin it, they wouldn't eat the skin. Nevertheless, lahavshad is a lechi. You shouldn't do that to the lechi. You meant to give it to the kohen with the skin above it, which is learned from a pasuk. We'll see later. We mentioned kohen. Now, there's no kohen around. That pertains to us, right? Let's say there's no kohen to deliver it. Two, mal nosim medam. You have to evaluate, assess it. Okay, it's a $25 item. Va'ichlan, and then the butcher can just eat it. Keep a record of the value, and then later on, he'll reimburse the kohen. He'll give the kohen the value. Why? Mipnei hefsed kohen, because otherwise, if he just sets it aside, it's going to spoil, and he's not going to. Nobody will have anything from it. So clearly, who's responsible? The butcher. Why? Just like Rav Sheshes rules that by Tanas Anim Leket, the farmer could just keep it without it. Here as well, Shani Mount Neskuna says the Gemara here, it's different. The Nesina Ksiva Bud Torah says give it. Nesina Ksiva Bay. Says Venasan Lakoyin. Venasan means you're obligated to deliver it to him. As opposed to the Matanis for the poor, it doesn't say give it, it says Tazoif. Leave it alone. Let them pick it up. If there's nobody around, then you can pick it. Says the Gemara, now they've discovered this new insight that when it says Nasina, it adds another layer of obligation that have to actually look after and deliver it. Truma Nami, Nasina Ksimabe, that answers Truma as well. We asked before from Truma. Truma also says, Titan law, you have to deliver, give it. And therefore, you have to look after, as opposed to the Matan HaSanim, there's no such obligation. Says the Gemara, Ve'ela Tazav Yisera Lamali. So we're assuming Matanis for the poor are just left in the field, there's nobody around, you take it and you keep it. But the fact is, if you look in the Pesukim, it repeats Tazav once and again. Leave it, leave it. Which almost sounds like they're sending us a message. Even when there are no poor in the area, you have to put it aside and ensure that it gets delivered. No, that extra tazav is for a different halacha, unrelated. Look at this sanya, hamafkris karmoy. If a person abandons his orchard, his vineyard, makes it hefker. Now hefker becomes exempt from all these obligations. But let's say lo shacha, next morning, he quickly reacquires it. Hishkim ubatzroy. Gets up early, quickly grabs back and harvests his vineyard. So it's a little bit of a ploy, right? In this case, he can't just exempt himself. Chayev, a peret, a ba'ilolois, a shikha, pay all the obligations to the poor. The peret means the dropped grapes, oilolos, the single growing grapes, the shikha, the forgotten, a pay the. It's as though he never made it hefker. And that's what we learn from the extra tazev. This type of manipulation doesn't work. Upata mina ma'aser. So it comes to ma'aser, you pater, because the fact is, once it had the hefker status, it gets exempt. So in any case, the pasuk is for this, not for adding, delivery obligations. Okay, at the end of the day, Rav Sheshes had a big chiddush that when it comes to matonis aniyim, tazav means leave it for the poor, but there's no poor around, hold on to it, keep it. As opposed to truma and matonis kuhuna, where you're obligated to actually ensure that it's delivered based on nesina. Hosaka the Dinri. Here comes a story about a pouch of coins. The also limits Russia. So the fellows donated it to the Beis HaMedrash, to the yeshiva, and the Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Ami, quickly took it and he acquired it. Kodim Rabbi Ami v'zocha ben, he picked up the coins and he kept it. V'echi avidachi, how could he do that? V'oksiv v'nosan. V'lo yishetel ma'atzmoy. So the question is, just like by the Matonis Kahuna, right? We learned it says that you have to give it. It's up to the Yisrael to find the Kohen and give it to him. The Kohen is not meant to grab it on his own. So why would Rabbi Ami you know, sort of snatch the whole gift instead of distributing it to the Bnei Yeshiva, where, that it was, you know, presumed for. Rabbi Ami Nami Lanim Zachem, and the answer is no, he wasn't taking it for himself for personal use. He took it for the Anim. Then Farshim explains, so what was his motive? Why do you have to grab it? Could have just let them. He's concerned that the you know, the members of the local Beis HaMedrash would just take it exclusively for their own use, but he wanted the other Anim in town to have it as well, so he took it to make an equal distribution. Vibay is saying another way to understand what happened. In fact, he took it for personal use. Adam Chashav Shani, because he was a prominent, but he was Rosh Yeshiva. That's very different. They're obligated to actually supply his needs. So Bnei Yeshiva have to look after his financial needs, and therefore he just took it. The Sani Baba Brice regarding a Kohen Gadol, he meant it was supported by his fellow Kohanim. A Kohen Gadol Me'echav, he's the greater of his brethren. What does that mean? Of his brethren? We learn, Shei Gadol Me'echav Benoi, V'chachem Ba'isha, he has all the qualities, which puts him a cut above the rest. Benoi in appearance, B'chachma in wisdom, B'oishar and in wealth. Achirim Oimrim, this way he's influential, he's impactful. Achirim Oimrim, others learn a bit differently. Menai Shim Eimloi. So others add. Now let's say he's not a wealthy man, he doesn't have his own resources. How do we know that they're obligated to supply him and make him wealthy? She'echav HaKehanim, his fellow HaKehanim, Megal HaNoisai. They make him wealthy. Tamalaymar, Akayin Agolah Meyachav, Galay Mishael Echav. His gedula, his status, comes Mishael Echav. They're obligated to support him and provide for his wealth. So according to the first pshat, Gadol Meyachav simply means he's a cut above the rest. He has all these talents and components of you know, influence, but the second Shita adds, he says, look, suppose he does not. He's not, he doesn't have the resource, doesn't have the financial resource. His brethren, his Kehanim, have to actually provide for him to ensure that he has that status. So likewise, now a case, due to the fact that he was the Rosh HaYeshiva, who they're obligated to support and to provide with wealth, certainly had a right and an obligation to take this money to ensure that, in fact, he maintains that, you know, that status. Says the Mishnah, okay, we speak about Zroya L'Chayayim and Keva. Where exactly is that? How do you pinpoint these limbs? Ezeo Azroya, what's considered as Zroya? Mina Perak Shel Arkuva Ad Kaf Shel Yad. So the front leg of the animal is pretty much comprised of three main sections, three main bones, the upper, the middle, and the lower. The lower is sold with the head. It's called Akuba Hanim Kerasim Aroish, because there's very little, it doesn't have any flesh, it's just thrown in with the head. So that's the perak, the joint of that Arkuva, that lower section. So from starting from there, going upward until the cuff, Shal Yad of the hand, meaning basically the shoulder area. So those two sections are given to the Kohen. We shall Nazar, and likewise by the Shlamim of the Nazar, where it says that the Kohen takes the Zroya, it's referring to these two sections. We connect the regular Shoik, likewise by a Korban Shlamim, where the Shoik, the hind leg, is given to the Kohen. So the Shoik also represents these two portions, the middle and the upper section. Rabbi Yudhaymi says, no, when it comes to the Shoik, it's only the middle section. Shoik is the Mina Perak Shel Arkuva, it's from that joint leading into the bottom section, Atzav Shel Regel, until the joint of the middle to the upper, basically the middle section only. Okay, so Kohen Tanakam is the two upper sections. Kohen Tabida, the Sheik is only the middle section. So that's regarding the Zroya. What about the Lichayayim, the Lechi, Ezeh Lechi? How far is the Lechi? That's the lower jaw, what does that encompass? Min haperek shel lechi ad pika shel gargaris. It's from the edge of the upper edge of the lower jaw, going down to the pika, the cap of the gargaris of the windpipe of the animal, which includes the tongue as well. Okay, now when we speak out zraya, is it the right or the left? Tanur Rabbanan hazraya, which is the term the pasuk uses, ha, ze zraya means referring to the right zraya as opposed to the left. Atoim ze zraya means you're saying it's the right one. Ayeinu lezraya smel, perhaps the left. Tamalim ha, the X-ray tells you hazraya that it's the right. My Talmud, how do you know that ha means the right? K'da'am Rava, as Rava tells us regarding gir hanoshe, where it says ha hayorich, ha miyumenesh yorich, the right one, the stronger one, the most more prominent one. Hachanami, when it says hazraya, hazraya means ha miyumenesh hazraya, the right one, the more prominent. That explains the hay by the zraya. What about the hay by l'chayayim? V'al'chayayim, there's no right and left there, right? V'al'chayayim, so what's that for? L'chavi to include the skin and the hair, the tsever, shabroish kevasim, the hair growing out of the head of the kevas, meaning you give it to him with the skin above it, like we explained before, not just the flesh, it comes along with the skin. V'seor shabzak and teyoshim, and the hair on the little goatee of the goat, basically with the skin along. So what's the hay of v'hakeva, of the stomach? What's that coming to add? Which add-on material? Lavi chelav shel gabei hakeva. You give him the keva, the stomach, with the chelav above it, v'cholav shebetech hakeva, and the milky material inside the keva, which the animal nursed from its mother. So basically, all that is sort of a bonus for the kohen. Dam Rabbi Shua, kohanim nohaga bo yain yofe, nasnu labalim. Rabbi Shua says that the kohanim were generous and the chaylev on the keva, they would be generous and they'd give it back to the, you know, they would leave it with the owner, they wouldn't take it, but really, rightfully, it's theirs. Time of the nagah, it's only because they had this custom to leave it behind halei nagah, but otherwise, the dehu really belongs to them based on this pasuk. Okay, so we have a source that the zraya is the right. Here comes another source. Darshei chamuroi seyoimrim. Those scholars who would expound on obscure psukim, presented like this. Hazraya keneged hayat. Why? Why do kohanim? How did they earn this gift? Where did it come from? Because of the mesiras nefesh, sacrifice that their forefather Pinchas expressed way back when there was sin going on, he went all out to save the day with mesiras nefesh. So the zraya that's given to the kohanim for all generations, keneged hayat, corresponds to the right hand of Pinchas, which he used to poke the Zimri and you know the right over there, the story of Zimri, Chenu Omer, as we find, they took the spear in his hand, we assume the right hand, stronger hand, and that's why the Kayanim earned the Zraya gift. L'chayayim, what about L'chayayim? Kinega, the Tefillah, corresponds to the prayer, that Tefillah that Pinchas was involved with to stop the plague that was happening. B'chenu Omer, we find the pasuk ve'yamid Pinchas v'yifal. He got up and he davened. He didn't just do; he davened, and you daven with your mouth. You're with your, you know. So that's why they get the l'chayayim. A keva. What's the keva for? K'mashmo. The location where he actually struck the woman there. B'chenu Omer lishal kavasa to the keva area. So, hence this gift to the kohen for all generations. Here comes a third source that in fact Zraya is the right hand of the animal, because we move over to the Shlomim where we give the Shaykh, right, to the Kohen, Shaykh Hayamin, there it says the right, perhaps this right only applies to the Shaykh. Zraya Mekdashin, what about the Zraya of the Nazir, of the Shlomim of the Nazir? How do we know that's the right? Tamalai Matruma, because in that pasuk it says Titnu Truma, right, by the Shaykh Hayamin, by Shaykh Hayamin Titnu Truma. So the word Truma covers the right Zroya that the Nazir gives to the Kohen as well. Zroya Chulin, what about the Zroya of a regular animal, which is our discussion today? Menayin, how do you know it's the right? Hamaloyma Titnu. In that pasuk it says the word Titnu to cover even the Zroya of a regular animal, hence we know that it's the right. Okay, so how do we know Zroya is the right? Either Hazroya, the extra hay, or it corresponds to the right hand of Pinchas, which earned them this gift, or through a correlation with the Shaykh Hayamin, as per the last pasuk. Ezeh lechi. Okay, what's the what are the parameters of the lechi portion given to the kohen? And a perek shel lechi, at pikah shel geres, it goes down to the cap of the trachea. Says the Gemara, Tani, we have a Braisa, which seems to describe it a bit differently. Noitla. Braisa says he grabs the, separates the lechi, ubeis shechita ima. And with it comes the part of the animal where the shechita takes place. Now, we know there was a machlekes way back when. How far up in the trachea can one do shechita? Up until the end of the rings? Or even further up, the cap? The little, you know, door that opens and closes over those rings. According to the Chachamim, up until the rings and that's it. According to the Bechanim and Tignes, you can shecht even above that. So, in our Mishnah, it says that the lecha extends until the pika, which according to the Chachamim is beyond the shechita zone. And the Braisa says, Noitla ube shechita ima. He cuts away from the base of shechita as well. It goes all the way down into the shechita zone, which means into the rings. So how far down do you go? It seems to be contradictory. Says the Gemara, no. Depends who's speaking. Depends how far you consider the shechita zone to be. Like Kasha, here comes the answer. Her Rabbanan, our Mishnah follows the Rabbanan. That the pika, this cap, is not suitable for shechita. It's beyond the shechita zone. That's why it doesn't call it beis shechita. The Braisa is going on Rav Chanina Antignus, who says the pika is perfect for shechita. And that's why the Braisa calls it beis shechita. So we're talking about the same exact location, with just a different point of reference. Like Asher, HaRabban, Rav Chanina Antignus. The Sani, we have a Braisa, which brings this machlekes. Whether shechita is suitable in the pika, the Sani Megremes, so if you veer out of the, you cut and you veer out of the ring area up until the pika, Sani Megremes, it's psula, according to Racham, it's out of the zone. Hey, Rav Chanina Antignus, he testified on Megremes Shik Shir, it's okay to go beyond that point. And that's why the Braisa calls it Beis Shechita. Another way to understand this apparent contradiction. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa are following the Rabbanan, that you can only shecht within the rings, not beyond. And that's why the Mishnah did not mention that the Pika relates to Beis Shechita. It's not Beis Shechita, it's beyond the Beis Shechita. And when the Braisa mentioned removing the Lachayim, Ubei Shechita, and the Shechita zone, Ima, with it, Umay Ima, you know what with it means? Not with the Lechi, that's not the portion given to the Kohen. Ima the Behemoth stays with the rest of the animal. Because, yeah, the Kohen's portion starts from the top of the Lechi down into the Pika, and that's it. The Makam Shechita, which is a tad below that point, stays with the rest of the animal, Ima the Behemoth. As per the Shitas Chachamim, the Makam Shechita ends at the rings. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. The Kohen sells an animal. He says, look, it's yours, except chutz from the matonis. Then a deal is a deal. He keeps the matonis. He says, amanas, that's a machlekes. The butcher hands the matonis to the customer. Who's the Kohen going to look after? The machlekes. A ger with his animal. If it happened before he converted, he keeps the matonis. Afterwards, he has to pay up. Safek, or potter. Gemara spoke about the chazaka. Gemara spoke about that there's no iser involved. That's why he keeps the matonis. But when there's a question of iser, in that case, he has to go to chumra as per the braisa, which had two categories. Four are just mama, and he keeps it. And four iser, he has to count for the possibility of chiyuv and address that. We had a chiddush that matonis aniyim, where there's no customer, no takers. You leave it. You just hold on to it. You can keep it. There's no point in leaving it out. As opposed to truma, matonis guna, where it says nesina, you're obligated to ensure delivery. We had a story of Ami who kept the money as per the din of shehigadol me'echav. He's obligated to have, you know, financial depth in order to maintain his influence on the masses. We had the Mishnah and the Gemara describing, delineating the parameters of the Zroya, the Chayayim, and the Keva. We had three sources from where we know that the Zroya, in fact, relates to the right side. Interesting drasha, how it all comes from Pinchas. We see that gifts don't just happen, right? The person goes the extra mile. Right? He's here and he's comfortable and he pushes a bit further. He's Moisa Nefesh. He goes that extra bit. It's a gift to Hashem. right? He didn't have to jump into the fray and save the nation, right? He did it because he felt an opportunity to go a little extra mile for Hashem. Hashem goes the extra mile to you, for you, right? They state in the Mishnah, a person mevatel is rotzen to Hashem. Hashem responds and with generosity, with bracha, we should all be zeichet to bracha v'atzlocha b'chol ma'asei yadeinu. We should have the shmaya to know when to go the extra mile, to be zeichet to the bracha that comes along with it. Hadron lach, hazroi lach, ayayim, v'chal ayayim. Thanks for joining. Hatzlocha Rav.